You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
With the G8 and G20 summits taking place in Ontario this summer, the eyes of the world are on Canada. The summits will be the first high-level meetings to tackle global warming since the climate change conference in Copenhagen. These meetings present an opportunity to address climate change and pave the way for a successful completion of negotiations in Mexico later this year. Up to now, however, the Harper government has been anything but forward-looking on this issue. Indeed, a report by the Climate Action Network Canada details actions by the federal government to effectively muzzle its own climate scientists and weaken the research capacity of Canada's climate action community. Graham Saul, the executive director of the Climate Action Network, joined us this morning from Ottawa. Hello, Graham.
Hi.
First, let's talk about the report. It's called Troubling Evidence. Tell us, what were the key findings?
Well, as you pointed out in your introduction, the report basically documents a range of measures that the federal government has been taking that, in one form or another, effectively muzzle its own climate change scientists, or we would argue undermine climate change research in Canada, and that includes a variety of things like releasing important reports late in the day on Friday without any kind of meaningful communications outreach effort, putting people who effectively are hostile to the idea that humans are responsible for climate change onto research panels, reducing funding for critical climate change science, and then one of the key aspects of the report is a look at measures that the federal government brought in that in one form or another kind of muzzle its own climate change scientists and as a result have reduced the degree to which its own climate change scientists are able to effectively inform and engage the media.
Now some would argue that there's nothing unusual about a media policy like this. In your opinion, what is it about this policy that makes it so problematic?
Yeah, I would agree that there's nothing unusual about a government ministry having or government department having a media relations policy. But in this case, the devil is in the details in terms of how it's implemented. What they found was that essentially the policy required climate change scientists in Environment Canada to run requests for interviews through the Media Relations Department, which is in and of itself not particularly problematic, but what was happening was effectively a climate change scientist would get a request for an interview, they would pass it on to the Media Relations Department, and either the Media Relations Department wouldn't respond, or they would have to draft detailed notes in terms of what they were going to say that would have to go through a variety of different stages within the Media Relations Department to the point where climate change scientists were no longer able to effectively respond to media requests. So in particular, there's in the report, it outlines a leaked document that came out of Environment Canada where they looked at the impact of this media relations policy on the department as a whole, and they singled out the impacts on climate change scientists, and they saw, for instance, that they did kind of a case study of six key spokespeople for among climate change scientists in Environment Canada, and they had forwarded about 30 requests for science interviews to the Media Relations Department, and they were only granted approval to proceed in 20% of the cases. So most of the time, the scientists were either not able to respond to the media in a given amount of time, or in a reasonable amount of time, or they didn't even get permission to proceed. They just didn't get a response.
The government or the media, media relations board, did they give a reason for declining so many possible interviews?
No, effectively, what was happening was it was just a matter of the number of hoops that were being asked to. So, in many cases, the climate scientists didn't get a response at all, or as I said, they were required to go through so many steps that what happened was a lot of climate change scientists were unable to respond on timeline on the deadline for journalists, and the process became so onerous that they were actually referring the media to other places because they had kind of lost faith in the system. And this leaked report that's documented in our report outlines in some detail how the climate change scientists themselves were interpreting the impact of this particular media relations policy.
Have the scientists themselves commented on this process?
Well, I mean, certainly one of the things the report looks at in some detail is the fact that the leaked document that was produced for Environment Canada looks at the fact that Environment Canada scientists were frustrated, that they felt they weren't getting a chance to do their job. They felt that the intent of the policy was actually to prevent them from speaking to the media, and it documents that they've actually in many ways lost confidence in the ability of the system to meet the needs of the media, and they really felt that as a result their professionalism and their expertise was being questioned. But a number of Canada's leading scientists have spoken out quite strongly about the measures that this government is taking in relation to climate change science in Canada. So, for instance, Andrew Weaver, who is a professor at the School of Earth and Ocean Sciences at the University of Victoria and a Canada research chair, is mentioned in the report. And there's a quote from him that is where he says, quote, "The government of Canada has virtually cut all programs aimed at funding climate science. I get the sense that they feel that science is a nuisance. They ignore science in their decision-making. They muzzle their federal scientists by imposing impossible media contact regulations. They cut programs designed to allow scientists to develop knowledge." And that's just one of the quotes from the report itself.
Now, the report was released almost a month ago. Has there been any response from Environment Canada or from the federal government?
No, I mean, the Minister Prentice has attempted to minimize the report and deflect criticism. He's argued that the leaked document that's covered within the report covers a period during 2007 and 2008, and has suggested that some of these issues have been addressed since then. But in fact, you know, when you look at the pattern that's developing in terms of those three or four cases, and when you look at what climate scientists themselves are saying, and of course it's very difficult for climate change scientists and scientists in general who like to perceive of their profession as a nonpartisan activity to come out at all. So the fact that climate change scientists are speaking out is testament alone. So, for instance, another one of the quotes in the report is from Gordon McBean, who's the chair of the Canadian Foundation for Climate and Atmospheric Sciences. And he says, "When young scientists do not see continuity of resources for their work, they will move to where opportunities do exist. This is a resource that we lose forever. We've invested in a Canadian intellectual capacity that we will lose if we are unable to sustain funding." So there's a growing frustration, obviously, within the scientific community in Canada, and a growing sense that this is part of a broader pattern within the federal government that is hostile to very important aspects of the battle against climate change.
The issue has received a fair bit of attention in the media. Do you think it's possible for the government to get away with this muzzling?
Well, I mean, it's difficult to know exactly what the government is capable of getting away with, because it's hard to know exactly how this is going to impact on support for the government in different places. As I said, there's a broader pattern developing in terms of this government and climate change policy, the science being only one aspect of it. Another piece that we're spending a lot of time looking at within Climate Action Network Canada is the degree to which the government is supporting the creation of clean energy jobs and investing in the jobs of tomorrow and the ability to develop innovation and industry around renewable energy and energy efficiency. So if you compare, for instance, what's happening in the United States in the renewable energy field to what's happening in Canada, what you find is that the federal government in the United States is currently investing about 165 times more resources in the creation of renewable energy jobs in the renewable energy sector. And even at a per capita level, that means we're being outspent about 18 times to one. And you could look at similar approaches to the question of regulating industry. So it's difficult to know at what stage this government's hostility to effective climate change programs. I mean, they just cut the home energy retrofit program last week, which was an amazingly successful program. In fact, it was so successful that they said they didn't have any more resources for it. And so it's difficult to know at what stage this is going to backfire.
This government has been widely criticized for its destructive policies on climate change. Given that, were you at all surprised what you discovered in the report?
Well, we weren't actually sure about this because we tend at Climate Action Network and our member organizations that include faith-based groups like the United Church of Canada and labor unions and environmental organizations and youth groups and international development organizations, we tend to focus on those aspects of climate change policy that are more the investment in the renewable energy side of things and energy efficiency programs or the government's behavior in international climate change negotiations, or the government's willingness to regulate industry and hold industries like the tar sands accountable for their greenhouse gas pollution. And we knew that when you looked at those kinds of measures, there's really, unfortunately, no question that Canada is pretty much the worst country in the industrialized world when it comes to moving forward on those core aspects of climate change policy. But we don't traditionally spend as much time looking at the climate change science side of things because, well, that's something that we leave to the climate change scientists. And so I guess it wasn't surprising that the findings in this area were consistent with the government's approach in other areas, but we weren't really sure what to expect, and we tried to go into it with somewhat of an open mind, and unfortunately we found that the pattern extends into this area. And the impacts, of course, are going to be quite serious for the Canadian scientific community as it pertains to climate science.
Can anything be done then, Graham, to get this government to change its attitude on climate change?
Well, a lot can be done. People need to organize, and people need to make their voice heard. There is, for instance, there's a constant effort on the part of the government to better understand where Canadians are at and how they're feeling about different programs. And there are all kinds of things people can do in their day-to-day lives. And that includes not only the sort of personal measures that the majority of Canadians are beginning to take in one form or another in terms of reducing their own footprint, but it also includes getting involved in the debate. It includes lending support to organizations that are actively focused on this kind of work. It includes participating in sort of the public forums like Letters to the Editor and other things. And of course, it includes sort of adopting your own representatives, your city councillor or your member of the Legislative Assembly or your member of Parliament in this particular case, and advocating quite strongly and organizing people to also advocate to make it clear that this is not an acceptable practice. It's unusual for Canada to be moving on an issue of this scale of importance and positioning itself as increasingly an international pariah in terms of, as I said earlier, being effectively the worst country in the industrialized world on this policy, but then also to be so systematically marginalizing itself in terms of positioning Canada to take advantage of the opportunity to create clean energy jobs and the green energy economy of the 21st century. And there are provinces which in their own ways, like British Columbia, Ontario, and Quebec, that are doing very innovative things. And unfortunately, it's a question of people really need to come together and put pressure on the federal government to reverse this sort of hostility it has to climate change policy.
Well, thank you, Graham, for taking the time to go through this report with us.
No, thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Graham Saul. Graham is Executive Director of the Climate Action Network Canada. The organization recently released a report that details a series of actions by the present federal government that undermines Canadian climate science research and its practitioners. The report is available online at the Climate Action Network's website. That's climateactionnetwork.ca.